Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how, through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and we're here at our Men's Ministry Center with several of our men. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Good.
All right. Well, not too bad for a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I have a little scripture I'd like to read. We can then reflect upon. Comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. It's familiar. I'm sure our listening audience will be familiar with it as well. But beginning at verse 17. As he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these from my youth." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me." But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Okay? So, anybody heard that one before?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. It's radio, so we'll make sure. Yeah, that's a kind of a challenging little pericope, right? A segment of Mark's gospel there. Probably a little bit on the background. In a Jewish culture, you know, when we use language like eternal life, was not necessarily viewed the way we tend to view that, because we're thinking like an afterlife. As much as, you know, how is it I can live my life in full compliance with God's will? Right? Because in a sense, God's will is eternal. So I want my life, right, to be in harmony with that will. And in a sense, therefore, you have eternal life right here, right? And you can tell, furthermore, he says, well, you know, here's these commandments. And he says, look, I've been keeping track of those my entire life since my youth, which tells you there's another, this is a Jewish man. Right. Calling him teacher in the Greek, you know, we would translate that kind of like rabbi. So you kind of have this rabbi-disciple relationship going on, right? And it says then Jesus kind of has an affinity for him. You know, he kind of has a love for him because you're like really, really super close. But there's something you're still clinging to. And if we're clinging to anything, are we really in full compliance with God's will? Right. And I'm pretty sure we can go around this room and we're all clinging to something.
Amen.
So then to bring a full story, maybe get some of your feedback is, how you feel about cutting it loose?
I kind of focus on clinging to the good things like hope and accomplishments and what I can do for other people.
Yeah, yeah. Which is very different than like this scenario, right? Where
yeah.
It's primarily, we would call it possession, so it's property.
Right.
It's materialism, we like to call it these days, where we can get...
And that clinging to the stuff gets you in trouble.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, it can. You were going to say?
You know, I'm going to bring up... We watch a series here at Neighbors Hope. His name is Rob Bell. We just watched one called Tomato, and in his reflections and his put to death how we go through and pick up the cross, okay, and it's like you know, he goes through the reflections about the season, about dying, about how, you know, the fruit and he puts that into our life perspective on When are we going to stop carrying the vomit? Okay, when are we going to, you know, put to death what is in our life that is bothering us, that we're carrying around? And pick up the cross. You know, I mean, it's just, and it's a hard thing to do, you know, when we're going through our struggles, when we're going through our issues, when we're trying to figure out life, you know, what we need to do to make our life better, Pastor.
So just to help our listening audience on that video series, that particular one, he's really looking at the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. And one of my favorite lines that comes out of that video that Rob says is that death is the engine of life.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Right? I mean, in here, I'll say you got to make a decision, right? We're back to Deuteronomy and Moses on the mountaintop thing, all right? Looking at the promised land. Life or death, blessings or curses, make a decision. Because once you make that decision, predominantly the rest of your decisions follow in order. All right. But yeah, it's tough because if we're honest, it's why New Year's resolutions don't work. All right. Maybe it's after Super Bowl or something. But anyways, we make these resolutions. I want to lose 5 pounds, but I love chocolate. And the brain says, yep, they're both true. Which one do you want to do? Because we can't lose 5 pounds if we're going to eat all the chocolate, all right? So you got to make this decision. Something's going to have to die. Either I'm going to be dead to chocolate, all right? Or I'm going to be dead to being overweight, right? Something has to die one way or another. If you take the same thing as, in here we teach, when we talk about, our forms of addiction, all right? Look, if you want to be sober, Jack Daniels has got to die, right? If you want to be clean, you know, the smack's got to go. You see what I'm saying? In all those situations, something has to die, right? And I think in the pericope we hear with Jesus and the young rich ruler is, yeah, he's not prepared to put to death, right, his attachment to his possessions. Right? And that's why I said earlier, I think we all probably have certain things that we're going, oh, yeah, I probably need to put that to death. Yeah. Right, you got anything?
I don't.
Oh, then come, son. You are close to eternal life, right? And some of these things could just be our ways of thinking. We may have certain habits. It doesn't have to be material possession too much. But if we're looking for some sort of transformation, I think with Rob's correct on is something has to die. Right? Later, even Jesus would say, look, unless you die, I mean, there's no resurrection. Right?
Well, he brought that scenario up too, where Jesus went to the cross, but then he was, you know, he died for us, but then he went to, and he rose, resurrection, you know. But, you know, I think too, Pastor, you know, it's like you got to find consistency, man. You got to, like you said, you know, it takes 21 days to build a new habit.
28, yeah. Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, about a month.
And you know what I mean? I mean, and we have to get consistency in our life, you know. If we want, you know, and I guess I don't like to lose all the grass is greener on the other side, but, you know, I mean, you can have a better life. You just got to be willing to do the work and put that, you know, unnecessary stuff. I mean, because the past is the past, okay? I mean, you know, okay, we like you said, we always know what that plan, we can always go back to that plan B, okay? But, you know, I think, you know, being here in this program and the way we work with the guys and the way we do it, you know, is to, you know, just, how would you say it? Love them, show them that, hey, there is hope, you know, and you know, just, you can do it, man. I encourage them, empower them. And you know, it's just, you know, I mean, however your belief in Jesus is, or however your spirituality is, For me, it's Jesus, but, you know, I mean, I just had to give him control and say, hey, man, it's your way or no way, because my way wasn't doing it.
Well, we used to say sometimes, right, look, your best thinking brought you to our front door.
Yeah.
Your best thinking.
Amen.
Yeah, our best thinking has not always led us down paths of green pastures, you know. And so sometimes we have to put to death, mm-hmm. right, surrender, even our, well, in a 12-step group, they'll call that stinking thinking, all right? So, anybody else want to add anything?
Grieving?
Yeah, we got a couple minutes. Yeah, and it does say, you know,
I'm still grieving my father's death.
Yeah, the grief of loss, right? And that's a process, right? Because sometimes, are you familiar with like a grievance cycle, they call it?
Yeah.
So I'll try real quickly touch on that. So sometimes I use an example, like a divorce, right? Even psychologists say sometimes divorce is worse than an actual death, simply because the relationship has died. There's a death there, but you still may bump into your significant other at Meijer or Walmart or something, right? So they're not literally dead. So the brain has a little better capacity when we have things like an urn or, you know, the body in a casket, something like that. The brain goes, okay, they're not coming back, right? Well, part of that cycle, so let's say it's a divorce, like, I can't believe she's leaving me. Right? I can't believe he's dead. Right? The minute we verbalize that, I can't believe, that's called denial. I mean, the body's right there in the casket. Right? She's gone out the door with the kids and not coming back. Right? But I can't believe it. Ah, forget her anyways. I never needed her. Right? That's called anger. Right? We start getting angry. Man, I'd do anything if she'd take me back. That's called bartering or begging, if you want to, right? And so the brain, it's the way the brain's trying to deal with this sense of loss. Sometimes we deny it. Sometimes we get mad about it. Sometimes we beg for it to go back to the way it was. And it kind of loops in. It's just not linear. It loops back and forth. We can be in denial. We can jump over to begging, bartering. And finally, the brain says, you know what? We've tried denial. We've tried anger. We've tried bargaining. And that's none of that's working. So I tell you what, I'm just going to shut down for a little bit. And we call that depression. And you can weave through all four of those for days, weeks, months, years. Right? Till finally you get to what's called the fifth stage. And you go, you know what? She's not coming back. They're not coming back. And the question, the right question to ask now is, what now? Now what? What do I do now? I've come to the point, she's not coming back, he's not coming back. I have to move on. So now what? And when the brain finally gets there, we start letting go of some of that pain. Not that we, we've all heard time heals all wounds. Well, sort of. It's really, what it really is over a period of time, the power, the emotional power of the emotional wound diminishes. And it starts diminishing once we get to a point of acceptance. So that over time, we don't lose the memory or anything, but the emotional attachment to the memory no longer has that level of power over me. So I'm sorry for your loss. I truly am. Just be mindful that sometimes, around here while you're going through this grievance, because it's a loved one, and we all, the measure of the emotion is directly related to the depth of the relationship. You know, if you're close to someone, it hurts.
Yeah.
It hurts. All right, gentlemen, we appreciate your joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our donation and recycling center, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.